"Opportunity can knock with any hand, Kevin," Klaus said.
And at that moment, there was a knock at the door.
"Open up, freaks!"
The impatient voice coming from outside the caravan made the children jump. As I'm sure you know, when Klaus used the expression, "opportunity will knock," he meant that his co-workers might find something better to do with their time instead of leaping into a pit of hungry lions just to give some people what they wanted. He did not mean that the girlfriend of a notorious villain would actually knock on the door and give them an idea that was possibly even worse. But I am sorry to say that it was Esme Squalor who was knocking, her long fingernails clattering against the door.
"Open up! I want to talk to you!"
"Just one moment, Miss Squalor,"
Hugo called, and walked over to the door.
"Let's all be on our best behaviour," he said to his co-workers. "It's not often that a normal person wants to talk to us, and I think we should make the most of this opportunity."
"We'll be good," Colette promised. "I won't bend into a single strange position."
"And I'll use only my right hand," Kevin said. "Or maybe only my left hand." "Good idea," Hugo said, and opened the door.
Esme Squalor was leaning in the doorway, with a wicked smile on her face.
"I am Esme Gigi Genevieve Squalor," she said, which was often how she announced herself, even when everyone nearby knew who she was. She stepped inside the freak's caravan, and the Baudelaires could see that she had dressed for the occasion, a phrase which here means put on a specific outfit in an attempt to impress them. She was dressed in a long white gown, so long that it passed her feet and lay around her as if she were standing in a large puddle of milk. Embroidered on the front of the gown, in glittery thread, were the words, "I love freaks," except instead of the word love, there was an enormous heart, a symbol sometimes used by people who have trouble figuring out the difference between words and shapes. On one of the shoulders of the gown, Esme had tied a large brown sack, and on her head she had an odd round hat with black thread poking out of the top, and it had a large angry face drawn on the front of it. The children knew that such an outfit must be very in, otherwise Esme would not be wearing it, but they couldn't imagine who in the world would admire such strange clothing.
"What a lovely outfit," Hugo said.
"Thank you," Esme said.
She poked Colette with one of her long fingernails, and the contortionist stood up so Esme could sit down in her chair.
"As you can see from the front of my gown, I love freaks."
"You do?" Kevin said. "That's very nice of you."
"Yes, it is," Esme agreed. "I had this dress made especially to show how much I love them. Look, there's a cushion on the shoulder to resemble a hunchback, and my hat makes me look as if I have two heads, like Beverly and Elliot."
"You certainly look very freakish," Colette said.
Esme frowned, as if this wasn't quite what she wanted to hear.
"Of course, I'm not really a freak," she said. "I'm a normal person, but I wanted to show you all how much I admire you. Now, please bring me a carton of buttermilk. It's very in."
"We don't have any," Hugo said, "but I think we have some cranberry juice, or I could make you some hot chocolate. Charbo here taught me to add cinnamon to the hot chocolate, and it tastes quite delicious."
"Tum kagai,"
Sunny said.
"And we also have soup," Hugo said.
Esme looked down at Sunny and frowned.
"No, thank you," she said, "although it's very kind of you to offer. In fact, you freaks are so kind that I consider you to be more than employees at a carnival I happen to be visiting. I consider you to be some of my closest friends."
The children knew, of course, that this ridiculous statement was as fake as Esme's second head, but their co-workers were thrilled. Hugo gave Esme a big smile and stood up straight, so that you could barely see his hunchback. Kevin blushed and looked down at his hands, and Colette was so excited that before she could stop herself, she twisted...